Blog Talk Radio.
Didn't we all die? Didn't we all die at the start? Aren't we all right? Aren't we all right for the most part? Is there an ending? Really an end to all of this? Or just a beginning? Another beginning, so why resist? Take a breath, let it out, let it in.
To a talk that was given by the president of the International Primal Association. Her name is Diane Armand, and a colleague, Tom Rose, was also co-facilitating the talk and joining in the talk. This happened recently in the Washington, D.C. area. They were in town tabling at the Psychotherapy Networker Symposium, and I arranged this lecture for them. So the recording's not the best, and a lot of times there's different questions from the audience, and you can't necessarily hear the questions, but hopefully you'll be able to hear the answers. And there's a lot of good information and stuff that I think you'll appreciate. So have a listen, and there's more information about the IPA at primal.org. Website is there listed on the program information.
And I gotta go back.
Okay. kind of thing that always happens. But I had this vision that I was in a vortex. I was going down, 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 down. And I kept seeing the faces of all the people that rejected my heart. All of them. And I went all the way down, and then there was just me. After I had it, then I came out. I was done. And after I came out of that experience, I was living on 2 or 3 hours a night sleep. You know, and life was absolutely incredible for us. You know, and this went on for maybe 6 months. You know, and then life slowly came back to normal. And I still could get feelings of rejection, but nothing like that. I mean, that just did it for the whole, that whole concept of rejection, which I think we all live in. I mean, we've all had, we've all been rejected. And it's a terrible thing. Really, very, very painful thing. So that's, and I continue to do, as I need. The way it happens is it's something presented today that I'm having so much open to think about, and I have to lay down and deal with it. And if you go back to some earlier events, so it's a process.
Yeah. But we're going to try to do some deep healing therapy in the old San Pedro tradition. I'm sure Randy can remember how to do San Pedro. You can just hold you from your major solid, and then you can get into the feeling of the first intelligence. So I will probably do that. We'll just run into what we do in the final, because the final is the time you're usually on support from the board. I know I've heard some people talking about doing some of this work by themselves. And this is just my opinion, and other people might have a different opinion of it. But it seems to me that being connected to another person while you're doing this work is important. I mean, I do it alone. You know, if there's nobody around, and I'm feeling a lot of feelings. I mean, I may just lie down on my bed and scream. You know, that I've done that. Maybe it's not pretty fantastic, or in the car. You know? But when I'm really thinking about working on something, and I'm having someone there. I work with Barbara Bryant, she's been a counselor for years, and I was able to work with her this week. And all she did was she just, I was on the bed, and she held my hand. And I could get through all the things that I needed to get through and make some connection. I mean, that's the other, making a connection. We don't always know where the healing comes from, but we have to trust that the process is going to work. So, even if you do, let's say, get into some deep healing, but if you don't really, did that come? Where did that come from? Why am I feeling this? You don't always know it right away. And so and that's okay, too. It's not like it has to make a lot of sense to you. It's just that you have to kind of trust in the process, trust in what your body is doing, and just let it happen.
Can I ask you a quick question?
Of course.
Back up just a hair.
Sure.
You're using the term primal. I have a sense, but I still don't really understand what that means. And obviously a lot of you today, but I really have no clue.
Okay.
So that's give me just a little bit of a snapshot.
Yeah, thank you, Brett.
Well, what a primal is usually refers to that when we have a feeling, when we have especially a negative feeling, feelings are not always negative. We also can have really positive feelings. And they usually connect through similar events in our life. So if I'm feeling rejected today, it's connected to feeling rejected when I walked across the dance floor in the high school gym. They asked the girl to dance that said no. And it's connected to the little girl that I wanted to give a Valentine to when I was in the third grade. It's connected to my mother saying, no, I can't take care of you right now. It's connected to my father saying, you're basically a bad kid when I was 2 years old. So you have this long chain of events that are all related to the same feeling. And in a primal, the idea of primal, the word primal, is that we want to get back to that initial event, the first time that happened. And the theory is that if you go back and you re-experience that first event in all of its traumatic pain, then you will clear it up. Then you can kind of unwind it all the way back up. So that's when we refer to a primal, we're usually talking about the process of going back down through all of this and getting to that first nugget and really experiencing. Because when we experienced it the first time, when my father yelled at me when I was 2 weeks old, I had no way of dealing with it. I'm 2 weeks old. I'm a weak little kid. There's nothing I can do about it. But now I'm an adult, and I can deal with that fear. I can let myself have the depression in all of its strength. Okay? Trump, is that?
Well, yes, but it also is when you're doing the healing work, you don't go back, you don't always go back to the beginning. You go wherever your body takes you. And it may take you to yesterday. You know, something that happened to you yesterday. So it doesn't mean that when you go, it's just that the important thing is not to be afraid of because we don't know where it's going to take you. That's the thing. I mean, you think you have a mass and, your body will just take you someplace. And, sometimes that's scary because, you might want to stop it or something, not go there. But the primal itself is the birth primal. I think that's where Janoff went. That's where it started, is that we all suffer during our birth. You know, the birth is difficult, it's painful, it's scary. You leave a comfortable, secure place, and then all of a sudden you're in this white, cold place. And that's where the word primal originated, is that it asked it was the birth primal. And some people do go through a birth primal during these regressive kinds of experiences. Not everybody does. Not everybody does. Not everybody needs to. But some people do. Some people need to re-experience that birth primal and then make some sense out of it and realize, like, oh my God, that's why I have trouble breathing. Something like that. Now they're realizing that the pre-birth environment, how critical that is for people because I know my mother drank and smoked and didn't want to be pregnant, tried to abort me. I mean, she told me, she didn't have any qualms about it. She said, I didn't want to be pregnant and I tried to abort you and you just wouldn't let me. Now, what happens to a fetus under those conditions? You have anxiety. You are scared all the time. That's kind of what I learned is, I'm scared. She's trying to kill me, and so it I didn't make that connection. It took me a long time to make that connection. I didn't know that. Now I can talk to you about it. It's like there's no feeling with it now. At that time, there's a lot of feeling. I still get goosebumps now that I'm telling you about it. But not the terror, not the fear that I've lived with. When I say this to you, it's not like I got it all cleared up. I don't. I mean, I still mess up my life. I've been married 3 times. I have trouble with relationships, But I'm happy. I love my life. And, I still have problems, and I do primal. I get out of the bath, and I scream my head off. But it is in a way, as you get married, right? Mary says, we like it. I am so grateful I'm able to do it. I'm so grateful I can start feeling it, and I can say, I'll just go to bed and turn on the mask, and I'll work it through. Doesn't happen right away. I guess that's what I want to tell you, that, it takes time to start, to trust your body. It takes time not to be afraid of the feelings. I mean, because they're scary at first. They're very scary. And all the shame for being told not to do it. Who are you going to tell? My mother's a bad person. I'm just a bad person. Make me a bad person, So there's a lot. There's a lot that goes with it. So, go ahead.
And I think one other important point is that your body is a wonderful self-regulating mechanism. If I'm afraid to feel because I'm afraid I'm going to open something up I can't deal with, what I've learned is that my body won't let me, my soul won't let me get into something that I can't deal with at that moment. us. Well, but the point is that you never get more than you can handle. The body, you trust your body, and you don't let somebody else try to force you to feel something that your being is not ready to feel yet. Then it will work out. It will work out okay. It will turn out fine. You will be able to feel those very deep, very painful things.
But that brings me into this whole idea of safety, is that when you're doing this, you need to be with people who are familiar. They know what to expect, and they'll stick with you through this. You need to be in a safe place where you can't hurt yourself. Like if you start rolling around or, kicking your feet or something like that, you don't want to hurt yourself. Very common to kick. Kick or pound or do whatever our body wants to do. That's what we should do. So safety is really important to me. I mean, can't follow up. A lot of people who do healing work are also in individual therapy. A lot of primal therapists around anymore. There used to be a lot of them. We don't have that many anymore. My therapist, Barbara, is 89 years old. She doesn't practice anymore. She did it this week just because we happened to be together, but she said she hasn't sat with anybody in 2 years. So it's hard to find. Truly a primal therapist, somebody who, I believe Jana in California is training primal therapists, but they're advertising for primal therapists because they don't have enough either. So I think one of the reasons there aren't so many primal therapists is because it's hard work. I think it's hard work. We do most of primal work now, and I make it, as far as the International Primal Association is concerned, I always say we don't do therapy. I mean, what we do is therapeutic, but we can't say we do therapy. I mean, it's like, because we're more like a peer, it's more like a peer group where people are working with each other. I'm a social worker, too, and I've been a psychotherapist for 40 years. But I still don't say that the International Primal Association does therapy. That's not it. I mean, I'd probably say it if I thought I didn't have a legal issue, but I can't.
They know they need to do it. I mean, that's just the way it is.
I did a, and Randy helped me last year too. We did a, we had a booth at the Psychotherapy Networker Symposium, and we'll have another one this year. But, you know, some people would kind of make a slight swing around our booth. They didn't want to come near us. I've been to primal therapy, and they're like, oh my gosh, no, no, I don't want to go there. But the ones who came, they knew, you know, they intuitively knew that this was something that would be good for them. And that's the only reason we're there. You know, that's why we're there. We're there because there are some people who are drawn to it and some people, I mean, I know people who don't need it. I mean, and can you believe that? I mean, you know, they had pretty normal birth. They, you know, they were well cared for as children. They, you know, they had whatever they needed. I mean, everybody has trauma. I mean, you can't live without some kind of trauma. But they had a normal life. And I'm always amazed when I meet these people, you know. But there are people out there like that. They wouldn't need primal. You know, they would have no use for it. But the people who do use it and who do benefit from it, there is nothing else like it. You know, for those of us who were, I don't know what to say, you know, just about traumatized at mostly, I think, pre-verbal level. Doesn't it have to be pre-verbal, but for people who could not talk about what happened to them. And, I mean, that's how it was for me. I mean, I had no words to say what happened to me. I knew something happened, but I had no words. So, I just wanted to mention, and I was in primal therapy for a number of years, and then I was just a therapy assistant. I assisted Barbara in her at her clinic. And then I went away. You know, and then I went on with my life. I finished, you know, I developed my career, and I did, you know, I mean, I didn't do much therapy. And then my son got arrested about 4 years ago, and it just devastated him. So I came back.
Can I ask you a question, if I may?
Sure.
How do you know if you have an emotional block? Because I think we talk about it in general. We assume that everybody has emotional blocks, but I really don't know in my mind on a given day or at a given moment that I am experiencing emotional block.
Get your third story to put the crop in.
there's a little something inside you that says, wait a minute, something wrong with that.
That's the key, is do you listen to the wait a minute? And I think that's what you're saying.
Yeah.
Say that you're the wait a minute.
Yeah. Not until you're ready.
That's right.
I agree with that.
Not until you're ready. It's like alcoholics, you know. It's only it's when you're ready, you know. Like it doesn't happen until you're ready. And sometimes it takes a trauma. You know, sometimes it takes something to, you know, loss of a loved one or something that just kind of really hits you, and you realize that you've got not handling it very well. You've got to be holding.
I know when one of my behavior is unacceptable to me, and I think we all have that intuitive sense. When I know my behavior is unacceptable to me, I know that there's something emotional going on that I need to deal with. When I don't treat you well, when I'm in the restaurant and I want to yell at the waitress, water I was fine.
Yeah, that's the word. It's really triggered.
Yeah.
You find yourself getting triggered. Or your world gets smaller and smaller, avoiding more and more. It's the other way. Yeah, it isn't always the, you know, my anxiety is always detected in my chest, but that's just me. And I think a couple of the people who wrote the story said, primal therapy saved my life.
I can say primal therapy. I don't know if I would have killed myself, but I think I would have really messed up my life a lot more than I did if I had some handle on what was going on with me. But yeah, please don't think that that there's something wrong if you don't think you need it, because not everybody does.
Almost all therapists, I think, say that feelings are really important. And what we're about is the work that help you get connected to your real self, your feelings. We're going to do it through the head. Whatever their particular modality happens to be.
The other question is, this is very interesting. To me, I would say that feelings be more taboo than sex. You can't talk about feelings. I think I have feelings more than I have sex. I'm just getting disturbed a bit. Every moment of every day that I'm either awake or dreaming, I have feelings. Everything that I do relates in myself to
your physical body.
To me, if we can understand and be okay with our feelings, we can have really control. Understanding what's going on, we can have some control of what's going on. But you said something in a sense that question that the importance of feelings. That it could be that way, but to me, it's like, to me, feelings are the holy grail. I mean, it's the cornerstone of who we are.
Oh, I just want to say one quick thing, is that there were people that talked about spirituality. And I'm in a spiritual, I'm very deeply involved in spiritual. And we talk about things happen in the head, then they drop to the heart, and then they become spiritual. So it's almost, certain from thinking something, having feelings about it, and having it become spiritual. And I see spiritual as connected. So people talked about that too.
My website is Think. No.
Exactly.
Thank you. Yeah. The question is, what the program is next? I think that is a valid question that I don't know why I think.
Well,
I appreciate your heartfelt participation. And if we're just going to talk about it, it's not fully satisfied to me.
Tell me what you would like.
I appreciate the difficulty of actually doing it, so I don't have the solution. I've just laid out the problem.
People who haven't seen it. In general, at the IBA event that somebody mentioned to me, there'll be a couple hour session where they have mats, they have big mattresses. So one person will lay down on the mat, and usually there's a person that's sort of leaning over all the entire session. Each person is broken up into dyads. One, each person will have a couple of them. One person lay down, one person lay down. And so the person who's laying down is going to be doing the work. They just start out with a few minutes of relaxing and breathing. This work is similar to rebirthing and holotropic breathwork. So that's one way to get into the body and into the feeling. So usually it's relaxation and breathwork and noticing goes on like that. And it's almost like you go into a trance a little bit and you sort of start tracking you're creating a state container. Another thing that's beautiful about working with the body, working with the emotion, and working with dreams, is not controlled by the conscious mind, by the ego, by your fear. Something will arise from the unconscious. You don't know what is going to come up, what direction it's going to take. And as you've got permission for some deep stuff that's down there, and usually we're kind of looking at feelings that are difficult, like that. So anger and fear, those ones tend to be more suppressed and more scary and hard to deal with. Usually, you give them permission, and so those kind of things will bubble up. And so you start paying attention to them, and then you give them some avenue of expression. So there might be some movement in the body, and there might be tears or anger, like some shouting, might be some hitting, kicking, and you're giving permission. So in a way, the body is really released, and at times, it looks kind of scary. Last year, they had a video that they didn't want to they decided not to show, because if you see a person doing this work, sometimes it looks quite shocking. The person is flailing and screaming and very intense, energetic, emotional, and body release going on.
And then they sit up and say, phew! That was interesting. You know, and really, that's really what happened. I mean, it just happened that way. I don't know. We could give a demonstration.
That'd be great.
Because, you know, Todd and I practiced it yesterday about what kind of demonstration we could give with the person standing up. But I just don't know how useful it would be. I mean, I appreciate your input on that.
I would like to do just a couple minutes reenactment. I'm not really going to go that deep, but just to show what it looks like.
Oh, so you want to be on the floor?
Yeah, and lay down. And then afterwards, maybe with Mary, you can try a little bit of the casserole thing.
The casserole thing? Okay, all right.
But
how do you want to do it, Rick?
Just give me space. Okay. There.
Do you want somebody to be with you? Or?
I do a faux one. So
what he means. you know, where people would kind of interpret what people were doing, and I really discourage that. I don't think the interpretation is very useful. It's really better to get from the person what they need rather than kind of absorbing what they need. Yeah, I don't want to do that. But like, what if someone, like I see this a lot where someone's not expressing a primal feeling, they're expressing what I'm doing, sex, we'll teach something called sex forum. And we teach in that process, they call it sex forum, sex community process, but we go into feeling sometimes. And we talk about if someone isn't one feeling, if they're expressing anger over and over again, they're not freedom from that, and that's like a thread in their lives, they're blocked, they're actually feeling something else, but they're not willing to feel that feeling. And that's the one they need to feel to get through that anger. So you don't do any facilitation of any kind around that anxious-looking person. I don't. Some people do. Some people do.
This work is so exhausted.
My friend went into the primal because she was married for 35 years and her husband left her for a younger woman. She didn't know what to do. You know, she did not know what to do with her life and she knew it ended and I don't know, she called from, but she did. Then she became pregnant. And she's very good. And I do pregnant, but people are very good because they don't have a final name. You know, she never had it. You know, but she had a lot of names. But she
but there. You have to be pretty cleaned up yourself.
Done with reverence, I think.
that as you're going through this primal experience, or are you already aware of it? And then
much just the manifestation of the feeling. So how do you discover that? How do you discover that you had issues with your mother? Was it in the primal session? Oh, that's what it is.
It takes a while. I grew up thinking I had a normal family.
It is normal for you.
Right. I mean, you're all over. Both my parents are alcoholics, you know.
My mother,
you know, was like, I remember my brother and I not getting fed. You know, that kind of stuff. I thought we had a normal family. You know, I mean, I didn't know it differently. And then I started thinking, I must be adopted. I must be adopted. I mean, my roommates were never too much, you know. But, yeah, no, it's just a process, really. And every story is just part of the journey. And
those memories are actually locked in ourselves. And we don't realize. That's why the body is so important, is because they actually are in ourselves. And when we're on the floor, when we're doing a feeling session, I prefer to call it a feeling session. When we do a feeling session, we get vision. I mean, like I talked about with my mother leaning over it, I had no clue when I walked into primal therapy the first time that anything like that ever existed in my childhood. I had a whole different vision of my mother. So it's a scene that I actually see, and I feel the emotional content on the floor.
That's giving space for something from the unconscious to bubble up.
Yeah.
You kind of get some way to pull it up. But usually it comes with the breath, it will come with sound. So sometimes the sound kind of goes more into the anger and shouting, sometimes it goes into crying and wailing, or it releases the body and just going with what sensation and letting the body be free to let go of what is coming up. And you never know what the journey is.
But sometimes it's laughing.
Fighting or angry or crying, or trying to do something
while you can amuse me or something in a picture that can happen when you're interacting with people that, you know, it's not their fault, you know, you saw your friend or your society, you know. That moment
back around. So, sorry about the sound quality for that, but it was a historic talk and hope that you were able to get some good information about it. Again, there's more information on the primals.org website. That's the International Primal Association. They're all just regular folks. It's not a run by a professional therapist or anything. It's regular people who are empowering each other to do deep feelings work, and it all comes out of Primal Scream, Arthur Janoff's work originally, and their website is www.primals.org, and they have a great summer convention. Summer convention is going to be at the beach at Lewis, Delaware, and about 2 hours from Washington, D.C. And, yeah, that's their major event of the year, and a lot of great speakers. I'm going to be presenting a workshop on family constellation work and all kinds of different workshops that are happening at that. Again, you are listening to the president of IPA, Diane Armand, and a colleague, Tom Rhodes. And thanks for tuning in. And we'll go out again with a song by the Kennedys, Breathe, from the Better Dreams album.
Watch the